Okay. Let's open it up to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. You know, we focus on Jesus, and that's what we're supposed to do, but there's also some things that we really need to know about Satan, you know, and it just amazes me sometimes how people act about him. Then I even had one guy try to tell me that the demons went away when Jesus came. So there are no demons here. So that's not true, but anyway, but there are some things that we do need to know about Satan. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 said, "Then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So, right there, Jesus said, you have power and authority over him, all his demons, all his sicknesses, all his problems, all the problems that he brings. You do have authority over him. You know, there's some that act like Satan's going to just get away with whatever he wants to get away with. And we're just supposed to put up with it until we go to heaven. And that's so far from the truth. Jesus has already given us the victory over him. We have to enforce it. We don't need to be set here and get picked on by him. We can tell him to scram, and he has to scram in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemeth." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that he may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he of the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And he arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. You've also been given the power to forgive and heal. See, in verse 8 it says he gave such power unto men. You know, that man, Jesus, could have just as easily have said, "Be healed." Or he could have cast the devil out of him. But he didn't. He let him know that his sins were forgiven. You know what happened then? He suddenly didn't have any condemnation. So then he just walked up and walked free. You know, it's important for people to know that they're forgiven. There's a lot of people running around that have a lot of illnesses, and they think that there's some certain sin in their past that they don't think they can be forgiven of. And sometimes it keeps them in all kinds of different addictions. You know, it keeps them in fear. There's all kinds of different things that happen when people don't understand that they are forgiven. You know, one time I ran into a guy, and he just looked bad. And I told him, I said, "God loves you." And he said, "How could he love me?" And I said, "We got to go have a talk." And I said, "Why do you think he can't love you?" And he said, "Because I killed people." And I said, "Well, do you know you're forgiven?" I happened to know he was a soldier. And I said, you were a soldier, weren't you? And he said, yes, I was in Beirut. And I said, okay. The original Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not murder. You didn't murder anybody. You killed somebody trying to bring peace to somebody else. Once he seen that, he just changed. You could see the complexion in his face change. He was a completely different human being from that point on. He started going to church. He got married. He just changed. He was not the same person anymore. He understood that he was forgiven. See how important that is? It's absolutely vitally important for people to understand that they're forgiven. People have a funny way of knowing that they're going to heaven, but they don't understand that they're forgiven. I was that way for a long time. I thought, well, I'm forgiven good enough to go to heaven, but I don't know if I can receive healing or if I can receive finances because of my past. I had to finally come to the understanding that Jesus washed away all of my sins and I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes the things that we don't know really do hurt us. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You have power and authority over unclean spirits. You have power and authority over sickness and disease. You know, there's no disease, there's no malady that man encounters that Jesus can't heal. The problem is people need to receive it. You know, I like to what Smith Wigglesworth said one time. He gave an account one time of he went to pray for a preacher that was on his deathbed. And he prayed for it, and that preacher started to reach out, and then he drew back. And he said, Jesus actually manifested himself right there. Had the healing in his hand. He said he could see something in his hands. And the preacher was standing there, and he'd start reaching out, and then he'd draw back. But we have to receive it. See, as far as God is concerned, he has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. He's already given it to us. We have to receive it. If we're going to enjoy it, we have to receive it. We can't just sit here like a mushroom and hope something happens. We have to get actively involved, find out what he's given us, start getting it in our mouth and in our ears and getting it in our heart, so that we can receive it. We can believe it. If we can believe it, we can receive it. We do have a part to play in it, though. Amen. And that's another thing, you know, I don't get too frustrated when I pray for somebody and nothing seems to happen. I know God heard my prayers and the answer was yes. But if they don't receive it, there's nothing I can do about it. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he gave us power over all the enemy. He gave us authority over all the enemy. And here's the thing we need to understand. He said he's with us always. Said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. Now when Jesus was here on earth, he told his disciples to wait for the Comforter. Said, you know, it's important for me to leave so that the Comforter can come. I said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to make you orphans. But the Comforter, when he comes, he'll teach you all things. Now, when Jesus was here on this earth, he could only be in one place at a time, couldn't he? When he went to heaven, he sent Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's everywhere all the time. He's everywhere all the time. You know, a guy can get born again out in the jungle with nobody else around. He can figure out that a man needs to be born again. And if he believes in his heart that God raised Jesus back to life, confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, guess what? He just got born again. But the Holy Spirit has to be there to do that. And he's always there. He's everywhere. Holy Spirit is everywhere all the time. That's why Jesus sent him. All power in heaven and in earth has been transferred to you. All of it. All of it. He did. And then this is the thing. In John chapter 12:12, he told us to, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's what I'll do. So when we take the name of Jesus and understand that we have authority to use his name, all of heaven backs us up when we use that name. And Holy Spirit is right here with us. That means God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is right here with you. They can't be separated. All of heaven backs you up. And when you use the name of Jesus, all the angels take attention. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's got our back. He's got us covered coming and going. He gave us authority, but he also said nothing shall by any means hurt you. See, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. As a matter of fact, you should not be afraid of the devil. You should not be afraid of sickness. You should not be afraid of disease. You should not be afraid of anything from the evil one. You got authority over it, number one. And you got Jesus' word on it saying nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's good news, isn't it? Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. See, that power from on high is the same power that God cast Satan out of heaven with. You know, Satan was on this earth before we were. That was kind of a thing when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Satan come in there, and he seen that glory. He knew what he was looking at. He had been in the presence of God. He had been in the presence of God. He was Lucifer. He had been in the presence of God. And then he got cast out of heaven. And then all of a sudden, here's Adam and Eve. See, I don't know. I can't prove it, but there was evidently some kind of life here at one time. You know, we find dinosaur bones all over the place. We find petrified trees that are ancient. They're all over the place. I think this might have been a glorious place at one time, and Satan got smashed into this earth, him and them angels that rebelled against God, and destroyed it. I can't prove it, but sounds good to me. And then God created the garden and put Adam and Eve in it, and here comes Satan. He said, "Hey, what are you doing here? This is my place." But he knew that glory. And then he got Adam to sin. And then God came down and said, "There's coming one that's going to bruise your head." And then all those prophets, all those people from that time forward, anybody that looked like they could possibly have that anointing, he would try to kill him. And then he finally got to Jesus. And he thought, "I finally got him." Got him on the cross. And then Jesus was in hell for 3 days and 3 nights. Well, but the Holy Spirit changed things. And Jesus set the captives free. He took captivity captive. He had a parade. What a wild time that was. I bet Satan's head was really spinning when Peter come out of the upper room, anointed with the Holy Ghost, and he got 3,000 people born again in his first sermon. I bet that really spun him. I bet the devil would have said, "I should have never put him on that cross." I bet if he had known what was going to happen, he wouldn't have done it. Because then all of a sudden he realized, now he thought he got rid of Jesus, and then all of a sudden there's 3,000 of them running around. And they just kept on multiplying, and they keep on multiplying. And they keep on multiplying. And there's nothing he can do about it. We do have power over the enemy. You know, Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father." See, that's power from on high. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the very same Holy Spirit. The very same Holy Spirit that come upon you is the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the very same Holy Spirit that Paul had, that Peter had, that John had. That's the very same Holy Spirit that all the mighty miracles were wrought by. That's the power that resides on the inside of you. Let's look over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. See, you are delivered from his power. The minute you get born again, you get delivered from the power of the devil. You get completely brought out of his kingdom, brought into the kingdom of his dear son. And there's a lot of Christians running around that don't know this. They don't know that they've been delivered. See, once you know something, then you can do something about it. You know, they're always trying to figure out some way to get set free from the devil. They've already been set free. They just need to enforce it. You know, one thing I know, that if you don't do anything at all, nothing changes. Maybe it might get worse. You can curl up and play possum, but I got news for you. The devil's not going to go away just because you play dead. He's just going to stay there, and he's going to keep on making you more and more miserable. But it's when you stand up and start taking authority over that rat and the situation, then that's when he really gets frustrated with you. I love this story. There was a missionary that was going over to Africa, and he said he could get people. There was witch doctors. Witch doctors would go down under this tree, and he'd be having these meetings. They'd be over there casting spells at him and doing all this weird stuff, you know. And it said these were flesh eaters. These guys were witch doctors. And he said he could get people born again all day long, and they didn't care. It didn't bother them at all. How many people he got born again? As many as he wanted to. They didn't care. He said when he started water baptizing people, said they would go nuts. These witch doctors would go nuts. And he figured out that was the first act of obedience. And they didn't like it when these new Christians started taking steps of faith and obedience to Christ, because then they knew they couldn't do anything with them. So they get born again all day long, and they could torment them all night long. But once they started doing something by faith and obeying God, then they were done. He said he was preaching a meeting one day, and a big bolt of lightning hit that tree, and man, them witch doctors scattered all over the place. And the main one showed up the next day and got born again. He said he was familiar with power, and he was familiar with spirits, and he said that was something he had never encountered before. He said that had to be God. So he got born again. See, God has a way of getting people's attention sometimes. It's better if we don't have to have a burning bush to get us to change our ways, but if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with might, with all might, according to his glorious power, and all patience and long-suffering with joy, we've been strengthened with might by God's power. See, a lot of times people really don't feel spiritually strong. But I want to know what it feels like to feel spiritually strong. We're supposed to just believe the word. The feelings will line up later. But we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Doesn't say anything about us being strong. And in fact, Paul said that his weaknesses were better because God could have glory in his weaknesses. He could be strong. It's better that we don't think we can do it on our own. When we rely on God, we'll have a far better outcome. We'll finish up with this one. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial, and what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what garments has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." You know something about the sonship of God? A lot of people don't mind saying we're children of God, but they don't want to revel in the truth that they are sons of God. And it's very important to understand this. And the reason I say this is I've had people come up to me and they say, "Well, you know, we're all just lowly servants." And we do serve God. We don't take that lightly. We do serve God, but we're not lowly servants. We're sons of God. We've been made ambassadors for Christ. You know, when Trump, when he appoints an ambassador to a country, he sends them to that country, and it's just as if he's speaking to them. You know, when the ambassador to Israel goes over there and talks to Benjamin Netanyahu, it's just as if Trump is speaking. And if they cross him, they've crossed Trump. That's our position. When God sends us into a place, it's just as if he's speaking. When we take his gospel and we're speaking it to somebody, it's just as if Jesus is saying it. And he backs it up with signs and wonders. He backs it up by the very throne room of God. And don't get frustrated when you go try to tell somebody about Jesus and they say, "I don't want to hear none of that." They didn't reject you. You get over yourself. There's people that feel bad. They think they got rejected. They didn't get rejected. Jesus got rejected. Not us. We're not that cool. They rejected Jesus. Amen? But see, we have authority over Satan. And we don't have to scream at him. We don't have to yell. We don't have to take somebody to a special room and scream at them for 2 hours to get them set free. Most normally, if we minister the word to them a little bit of gospel to them, and speak to that devil in the name of Jesus, tell it to get, it's gone. Most normally, people don't really know what has happened to them at the new birth. They don't know that they've been set free from that. They don't know that they can walk in victory. They don't know that they can walk without him hounding them. But if we tell them, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, they can walk away free if they will receive it. Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you do for us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for healing us. And we thank you for setting us free. And now that we're free, we have the ability to help somebody else get set free. So we thank you for this. We thank you that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And everywhere we go, you're going to be right there with us. So we don't have to go out into the mission field alone. because you're always there with us. In Jesus' name, amen.